Charlie Sexton is my guest today. His new album is called Cruel and Gentle Things, and it's his first new solo work to appear since 1995. Charlie has indeed been busy producing and touring with Bob Dylan. We'll get Charlie's take on The View from the Stage with Bob later. Let's start with this performance of Do the Same for You, Charlie Sexton.
Shine through. Open up your heart now, sugar. Is there just a little room? A broken-hearted melody. Can you hear that sing a crew? Well, come on, give it a little shot, and I'll do the same for you. Sun is shining bright here, honey. Still I feel a little chill. The days they seem like nights, all darling. The path, the constant hill. Everything has changed. I know that all things do. Well, come on, give me just one tender kiss, and I'd do the same for you. Wanna have to be moving on, sad eyes on a train. The beast that rides inside our head is cruel and can't be tamed. Open up your eyes, can you see a different view? Come on, give it another chance, and I do the same. Silence in the twilight, and the sun is hanging low. It's a fire in our hearts and souls. Oh baby, did you know? Baby, you only come together after you've broken too. Well, come on, give it another shot, and I do the same.
Charlie Sexton is our guest today on the Cafe with, I think, a fresh set of strings on that guitar. It sounds great.
Oh, good. Yeah. We were just discussing that earlier.
And that's I Do the Same for You. Yeah, you know, it was funny. I was reading up a little bit about some of the recording you were doing for this album and how it began with the sort of the last song on it, which was is a piano song. And you say that, you know, you're known so much as a guitar player that the piano is really kind of your favorite instrument right now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's certain voicings and things you can do on a piano that you just can't do on guitar, because guitar is a pretty, it's an imperfect instrument. It's hard to play certain things. And everything's there in a piano. You know, it's kind of like the orchestra in a box. Essentially, too, there's a certain type of song I was trying to get to in the writing, and those songs came on the piano. There's a three or four songs that were written on piano, and three in particular kind of did that for me. You know?
Absolutely. So guitar was your first instrument, obviously, way back when. When did you first start playing?
Well, I got my first guitar from my parents went to Tijuana or something. They brought me back a little funky guitar when I was four. And so I drug that around like, Linus for years and tried to play it, spray painted it black and, try to be Johnny Cash. By the time I was about nine is when I really, because my hands were small and it was a terrible guitar and I couldn't do it. And then when I was nine, that's when I really sat down and tried to figure it out.
Yeah. Now, who turned who on to music? You, Will? How did that work out? Your brother?
Well, it was sort of that classic music family. I had uncles that were like, would play old-time country, and a couple uncles that would do that during the war, particularly, that they played in country swing bands and stuff like that. And so it was kind of in there. But my father and my mother, for that matter, were really, really, really into music, and specifically like, Bob Dylan and Leon Russell and Stones and Beatles and just all the stuff, because we essentially grew up at the end of the 60s. I was born in 68. And so, when the new records came out, I get a batch from my mother, which were, good records.
Yeah, that is so much better. Rather than those of us who had to fight our parents' taste, that's fabulous.
Definitely. Yeah, when people talk about that are musicians or whatever, turn that stuff down, you'll never be nothing, get a real job. I never had any of that. I mean, they were just, I think, completely shocked that I wasn't in jail or something.
Well, it brings part of that up because you wrote one with Will on here, but you also wrote another one with Steve Earle about a real place. Is Dillingham Lane a real place?
It's absolutely a real place. It's Will and I were both born in San Antonio, Texas, and as Steve Earle is from there as well. So it's kind of funny. It's a complete written by San Antonio people. But Dillingham Lane was the first place we lived when we moved to Austin when I was 4 years old. Will would have been two, so almost five. I started school in Austin.
And this guy is real? The guy who's in the story?
Old Charlie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really weird place. Like, I don't think that street actually exists anymore. It's been, when we lived there, there was like all these weird shacks and stuff, like little cement kind of shacks. And there was like one fourplex thing, like a little, duplex apartment thing or whatever. And there was this old man, he lived in this, it was a cinder block, one room kind of shack thing. And he would just sit in there, and he had old screen doors all rusty, and like no one ever went over there, and we'd always walk by there because he was, it was kind of where we would go play. And he just sat in there, and he was probably about 80 years old or older, and he would just always wave to us, and
Kind of the Boo Radley of Dillingham Lane.
Yeah, somewhat like that. And then like one day he was just gone, He just, who knows, I don't know what happened.
Well, I'm kind of setting this up, I don't know if it's one you can do. Can you do that one?
Dillingham?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that. Hold on a second. All right. Here we go.
Sit and stare out through his screen. solidly. We grew older, the wind blew colder. The only thing that still remained are the footsteps down Dillingham Lane. Do you recall? Yeah, I bet you do. I never meant to be so mean. And all the pain I took out on you is always haunted me. Now it's clear that one we lost, it dug a hole inside of me. I didn't know how much love could cost. You will not really had, you see. We both grew older, wind blew colder. The only thing that still remained are the footsteps down Dillingham Lane. Now here we are back home again. Another year, some other street. And here and there, some holes to mend and promises to keep. And we all grow older, wind blows colder. The only thing that still remains are the footsteps down. We grow older, the wind blows colder. The only thing that still remains are the footsteps down Dillingham Lane.
Another one of the new ones from our guest today, Charlie Sexton from Cruel and Gentle Things at Dillingham Lane, as we mentioned, one that Steve Earle had a hand in writing with Charlie, and another good one.
Another good one?
Another good,
good
one.
Hopefully.
Yeah. You know, whatever success you have had, Charlie, with Archangels and all the work you've done, and certainly all the production work, I got to think that a lot of people know you. It's kind of funny this way. Know you from the stint with Bob, the stint with Bob Dylan in the band. I think I saw when you just kind of joined up, and one of the things I was just so amazed with that band, and I'd love it if you could talk a little bit about it from the inside, is the incredible musical communication among the people on stage with Bob, and not just between him, but with everybody else. Was it unusual for your experience in a band?
It was just appropriate, to be honest with you. I mean, I think when people don't listen and communicate and that kind of, I mean, like you look at jazz music, and it's all about that,
right?
Because there's a theme to the song, but then it just goes off and it takes you where it wants to go, or where, you know what I'm saying, or where collectively it goes. And I think that's when music suffers, personally. And I've experienced this in the studio when people won't listen or communicate like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's really why it worked, is that, you know, Tony Garnier, who's been Bob's musical director and plays bass, he just, you know, really inside what works most of the time for Bob. And he and I were just like locked in. And, you know, I never took my eyes off Bob.
What kind of cues does he give? Does he give like physical ones? Is that how he wants things to move?
yeah, there's all kinds of cues, you know. Sometimes you don't know what it is. You know? I think music is in its best form when it's not cerebral, when it's real, when it's kind of coming from the reptilian brain. You know what I mean? The mm-hmm. smallest part that's real instinctive and real, you know, sometimes really intense and sometimes, you know, it's just, it's all those things, those real core kind of emotional things, and you know.
And how does that translate for you into writing, though? Because it's hard to, I mean, you've got to do a song that has a form, that has, you know, a beginning and end, yet you have to stay true to this whole emotional beginning of it for you, too. That's I would think that would be a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I wrote my first little song when I was like 9, you know. And my brother, who obviously we mentioned earlier, Will, he's an amazing songwriter, but we're completely different writers. His thing is more like a Randy Newman style, or a real sort of more like literature, opposed to mm-hmm. kind of, and we've discussed this, and it's like my thing is really direct, and for me the most important thing is to relay an emotion, and you know, and then you work the story into that supports that emotion, or maybe heightens the feeling or that theme or whatever it is. That's my bag. And plus, I had to kind of recover from early days of, hey, get with this guy, he's really good. And then the guy's like, hey, you know, let's write something about the Monopoly board, that'll help us, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's, you know, co-writing is really, really hard. Music and song, all that, it's like really sacred to me. So when people come in and they're just kind of, you know, doing the craft or doing this or the that, I just rather not be there, you know. It's kind of hollow. And I mean, the turning point for me, Wishing Tree was really the turning point in the writing thing, and for a few songs I wrote on my own, but also a song I wrote with James McMurtry called Sunday Clothes. And we barely knew each other at that point. And I said, hey, we should write a song together. And James doesn't really write with people. So I brought up a subject that I had a feeling we might have in common, you know, and we did. And then that turned into a song that I would get people come up and go, hey, man, that's like exactly what happened to me when I was a kid, and it just meant so much to me. And that's like a real, when you get that from someone, it makes you like, man, I want to achieve that more, you know, because it means something.
Right.
You know?
Totally, totally. You want to reach back and do that, or would that work?
I could do that if you want me to. Every song we're playing is kind of like the same tuning and everything.
That could be good.
Yeah, because it was like, doesn't this guy know any other kind of chords?
Grandma slicked my hair down, and I cinch up my belt. I can still remember how that polyester fell. Dad's folk all tremble, yeah, they know what lay before. As the preacher takes the pulpit and the usher shuts the door. I came into this crazy world around 1968, bothered by a crazy kid with nothing on his plate. Daddy got in trouble, yeah, Daddy did some time. Visiting day at the penitentiary was where I learned to cry. We were singing those hymns over and over again. So Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday nights. I never understood it all that well back then, but it probably saved my life. We were singing those hymns over and over again. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday nights. I never understood it all that well back then, but it probably saved my life. Summertime, we live with Grandma, where we learn the golden rule. Awesome Southern variation at Vacation Bible School. I never got in trouble, I was just lucky, I suppose. But I never was quite an angel, even in those Sunday clothes. Back when Grandma slicked my hair down and I cinched up my belt, I can still remember how that polyester fell. Townsfolk all tremble, every load was laid before, as a preacher takes the pulpit and the usher shuts. But it probably saved my life. Singing those hymns over and over again. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday nights. I never understood it all that well back then. But it probably saved my life. It probably saved my life. It probably saved my life.
Sunday Clothes, going back a ways with Charlie Sexton, our guest today. Charlie, thanks a lot for taking the time to join us today.
It is my pleasure to do so. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Cruel and Gentle Things is a new one. It's on Back Porch. Charlie Sexton, our guest, and we'll be right back here in a moment here on The World Cafe. Cruel and Gentle Things is that new Charlie Sexton album we've been talking about. And if you want to get it, a great place to find it is at our new website, which is worldcafe.npr.org. And you can find that and our World Cafe CDs and also hear archived audio of the show as well. That's worldcafe.npr.org.